Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Chicago Way podcast, Radio Free Chicago in podcast form. Jeff Carlin from WGN Radio is here with me. He's the one who started the podcast. I'm John Cass.
Good morning.
And with us is Will Lee, a.k.a. at Mid-Noir Cowboy. He picked that handle. I don't know how, in God's name, maybe we'll get into how he did that. He must love John Voight movies. And but first, I have an announcement to make. Tribune wanted me to make this announcement in the newspaper, but I thought, why not do it here first? Because if you're listening to this, that must mean, I think, you like the column. And so I owe you one. And that is, when you listen to me or when you read what I write, you don't have a chance to talk back to me except on social media. Or back in the day when I had a leg man and his name was Will, he would have to pick up the phone and hear all the Cass sucks or Cass is great or mostly Cass sucks. But I figured out a way where you and I can sit down personally and talk if you're interested. I'm going to be at the Printers Row Lit Fest on Saturday, June 10th at 10 a.m., and it's on the South Loop. It'll be all over the internet. There is already some kind of internet schedule up, but it says tickets. There's a ticket next to my name. This is not, there's no tickets. You don't need tickets. Just show up. I don't care what they say. I'm not charging for it. I'm not making any money. I did this because I don't want to charge you. This is just us talking. I think we'll have Intelligentsia Coffee, which is a great coffee. They're going to be providing something there. And we'll just sit around and talk. And then after it's over, if you still want to talk, you want to ask me any questions about how Betty reacted to my Mother's Day plan over the weekend, which was to present her with a flat of tomatoes so that she could plant them.
Very nice of you.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing like after the brunch
mm-hmm.
to stretch out a little bit in the sun and on the dirt. And
sure.
The husband stands there with the cigar, or better yet,
in
a
parasol. Do you hold a parasol for her?
No, I just sit in the chair, in the canvas chair, with a big cigar and a drink, probably, what did I have?
A mojito?
No, I had some, a gin and tonic with bitters. It was the afternoon.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I, you know, on Mother's Day. And
right.
I pointed with my cigar, put the tomatoes here, here, here. She didn't like that idea.
Huh. Did Zeus help?
Zeus did not help. Zeus, I don't know, he's bothering me lately.
Uh-oh.
He's bothering me. He's, I don't know, maybe he's going through a change in his life.
What kind of change?
He's not listening.
Oh.
He's going through the stubborn Zeus phase.
Oh, he's,
like when
he's,
I told him not
he's a
to.
Teenager now.
Well, he's got to be. He's a middle-aged teenager, yeah. I guess. He's like 6 years old. What is that in dog years? 30?
Yeah. So
isn't that the time
midlife crisis? That's what it is, John.
Really, I thought that's the time when dads really get smart. When the dog boy and the dad human dad have a bond because that's the time when they need your help for the down payment for a house or something, right? Anyway, Zeus is
midlife crisis. He doesn't know.
Maybe. So anyway, that's good. And so I hope if you come out, we can talk and save the date.
June 10th?
June 10th at the...
what timing do you know?
10 o'clock, June 10th at the Lit Fest, the Trib Lit Fest. And this will be in the internet, and I'll put it in the column, but I want to tell you guys first. And, of course, you two are invited if you want to come. I think you came last time, right?
Yeah, last year.
What did we do? Did we podcast it?
No, we recorded a little bit of it, but it was so hot. That's what I remember. I remember sweating to death in that tent, but that was a good crowd. I mean, a lot of people wanted to get your the story of Cicero. They wanted to, or not Cicero, Cermak, Anton Cermak.
Oh, yeah.
We told that story, and then someone had, like, some retort from something we talked about in the podcast about Cermak, and then they're like, well, no, I've been doing some research. And
Oh, yeah.
I think this is really how it is. You're like, oh, well, that's not the story that's been told on the underground or something of that nature.
Yeah, somebody's trying to tell me what the outfit did.
Right.
When they did, they said, no, he was not killed by the outfit. I don't know who killed him. The Russians? Who killed him?
Well, but see, so I read it. So I was reading this book, Operation Snow.
Yeah.
Which is a really good book. It's an interesting book. It came out in 2012, so it's a little old, but I found it on my shelf. And it's a story of how Russian double agents infiltrated the U.S. government, specifically through the Treasury, and helped push the U.S. into a war with Japan and put the U.S. put up a cold indifference to any diplomacy that was coming from Japan, and Japanese took it as an insult, and then that led to the
embargo of oil, which gives them no choice.
That led to the Pearl Harbor. But in one of the side notes of the story, and it talks about Cermak's death, and it escapes me how I got there, but the author quotes an account that says the shooter, who was an Italian sniper,
marksman, right, dying of cancer,
right. A woman saw the gun and flipped out and hit him with her purse as he was shooting, and that's why he missed, because his target was Roosevelt, and then wound up hitting Cermak. So that's the story.
And there was another story that
I think
William Randolph Hearst put out in his newspapers that Cermak said, I'm glad I could take one for the president before he died.
Right.
He never said that.
Right.
What happened was the mayor of Chicago was dead on the ground because he was fighting with the outfit here, and they were sending everyone else a message. And Charlie Weber, the Democratic committeeman, called a friend who was there with Cermak, and the guy says, Charlie, Cermak's dead. And Weber says, really? Well, just put a 100 next to his nose, and if he twitches, he's still alive.
Jeez.
Welcome to Chicago Way,
Chicago
baby.
Way.
Will Lee's here, too. Hey, Will.
How's it going, John?
Will, give me some of that sexy radio voice.
I don't know what you're talking about, John. That's just how I speak early in the morning.
He's got that thing going.
With that cool Colt 45.
They got the Billy D. Yeah. So what's up, Will?
I'm a little scared of Russia again. I'm feeling my 80s all over again. It's starting to happen.
You're not foaming at the mouth like many I see.
It's not quite gotten there yet, but I am going to start my stockpile, my Red Dawn, emergency kit just in case.
I've got mine already. I've got.
You know what that is, Red Dawn? Yeah. That was when the Russians took over the country,
right?
And I've got my Patrick Swayze pants on. I only have them on one leg, though.
He's got his Roadhouse pants on.
Yeah. Oh, Roadhouse. Yeah.
We should have like a Patrick Swayze like Photoshop hair thing with the mullet and the, you know, that sort of 80s
right,
thing.
Yeah,
because we could fight the Go Wolverines.
That's right.
I love that movie.
That's right. Russian bullets can't pierce denim. That's what we know.
Will, that must have been a movie written by John Milius, who's also written the other classic, Conan the Barbarian, I think.
Oh, they're so similar. So very similar in their approaches.
All right. So you're scared of Russia?
I'm afraid of, I'll say this, is that, I think the whole thing is, what if Putin is playing chess, and he's been playing chess this whole time, and we're just only now starting to get it? You know,
well, that would make the Democrats pawns in Putin's game. Almost makes me want to start singing Bob Dylan song. But
luckily for them, they're not in charge. So.
No, but I mean, right? Wouldn't it? I mean, if that scenario is accurate, who knows, right? We're just talking. If the Russian spy master, KGB, Putin, is he's got the Democrats screaming at Trump. He's got Trump's firing Comey. This is all good for him.
Yeah.
No?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I don't think the scope of what's happening, if you're following that narrative, you believe that narrative, I don't think they could have, in their wildest dreams, anticipated it to have the impact they did on an election. I mean, that's
I don't think it. What impact on the election? Here's the one thing now. This is when my head blows.
Not the tabulations of votes. I'm talking about the narrative, the post narrative. I mean, it was there, and we're still talking about it, and we're still investigating it, and it happened. I mean, the fact that people can deny that the Russians did anything to influence.
I'm not denying.
No,
anything.
I'm not saying you are, but people do. People say it's subterfuge. It's just people are using it to.
It is subterfuge.
Well,
here's
it's
why.
Being used as subterfuge. It doesn't mean it is subterfuge. People can say what they want about it and react to it however they want. The reality is they did this. They did this, and they've done this.
What did they do?
They used hackers. They used.
Your Honor.
Right? They
Your Honor, will you please direct the witness to Will direct the witness to answer the question. What did they do?
They used hackers to try to release information that people didn't want released, internal memos on both sides.
They tried to hack the Republican Party. They failed. They tried to hack the Democratic Party. They succeeded. They produced the hack. Then the information went to WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm.
Of the information, there were two general themes. Okay? One was...
Hold it.
This is important. One was the media, the Beltway media, was in collusion with Hillary Clinton and the regulars of the Democratic Party to thwart Bernie Sanders, number one. Number two, there was all sorts of play back and forth with Podesta, et cetera, et cetera. Those reports in WikiLeaks were never proven wrong. Those were real reports about real-time thinking about how the Democrats and Podesta thought about the election. So what was wrong with that? Is that why she lost, Will Lee?
I honestly...
Because, I mean, if you break it down, if you just say, oh, the Russians... But did she lose because of that? Or did she lose because she was the establishment's candidate in an insurgency year and people didn't like her because they just didn't like her?
It's very possible all of those things, John. It's not like this where it's, you know, one reason that she lost. I mean, I think it was last summer when I first got the real sense that she was in trouble, as she being Secretary Clinton, because it dawned on me. I think I was at some type of – I was covering an event that she just did not have the sort of support that, say, Barack Obama have. People who came out to vote for him in droves aren't – you know, it just occurred to me we're going to come out and vote for her.
It was a spiritual experience for some.
For some, yeah. But they don't have that same sort of feeling for her. And I think that, you know, in addition to all these things, in addition to the Comey thing, in addition to all the WikiLeaks, she just always had a cloud over her. And – I don't think you need just one reason to say why she lost.
Well, I tell you, she lost for this reason. She didn't lose because of the Russians, and she didn't lose because of Comey. She lost because Hillary Clinton lost because she's Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And if all Comey had to do was say, hey, Barack Obama and Loretta Lynch, I've got to investigate this thing. You're not letting me. You're not giving me a grand jury. You're not letting me even call it a criminal investigation. So I'm resigning. You know what that would have happened? Then that would have been a big deal, and Hillary Clinton would have ultimately had to step down. The Republicans would have found someone, Democrats would have found someone different. Most likely, they would have found somebody, and anybody other than Hillary could have beaten Donald Trump.
Sure.
But that didn't happen.
It also didn't help that she was never in places like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and didn't spend much time in Florida. I mean, states where she could have maybe made a difference if she was out talking to people, but she didn't. And that's
why would
how
she want to go walk among her deplorable, broken basket of deplorable toys?
She lost. My point here was that they didn't do – that the Russians – their impact may have been, you know, minimal, but they did try to impact. They had there are groups of people who are writing young children in Russia or Russian territories who are writing fake news and putting it out on social media and trying to just create chaos. And it happened.
Let me ask you this. What do you guys think? Okay, let's take the Russians out of it for a second, because I want to think of the general principle of one country trying to impact the elections of another country. Let's say I don't like somebody else. I'm the president. I don't like somebody else in another country running things. So I take your money, your tax dollars, and I bundle it together with other money from my political friends, and I send my political agents to that other country to defeat the prime minister of Israel.
Sure.
Wait a minute. The Democrat, with all this screaming, do we not acknowledge that the United States has been doing this bipartisan? I'm just saying the last one was, last big one.
Oh,
was,
sure.
Obama tried to get rid of Bibi Netanyahu and used everything he could politically to do it, and the Democrats wouldn't even admit it, and it's not part of their narrative because they want to move along. But it's the same thing that the United States has done in Central America.
Oh, South America. The only kind that we haven't been successful is Asia. And even there, it was limited. We tried to, we couldn't do it with just diplomacy. We tried to do it with war.
So what I'm saying is, where's that holier than, how does this holier than thou thing come?
It's not holier than thou. It's about investigating it. You know what? We're the powerful country in the world, so we're going to go and meddle. We're going to work on our interests. And our goal should also be to stop other people than doing it to us. Because you know what? That's how.
Why should we stop doing it?
I'm not saying we should stop doing it.
No, it's the game. You know what?
I'm saying we should stop other countries from doing it to us.
Yes, we should. And when they're successful, when people have homebrew email servers in their bleeping basement with top secret information on them in their basement, and the aide is sending the emails, and the sex pervert has a laptop, you know, the email, the aide's husband, whatever his name is, Wiener, you think you might have a problem there? Will Lee, is this how the Game of Thrones works in real life?
Well, it always happens that way with, you know, sort of a subterfuge. You know, the funny thing that no one ever really talked about was that, like, you remember 10 years, about a decade ago, when they uncovered this whole spy network of Russian spies in the country. And they were, like, just living, you know, like sleeper agents within the the states. And at the time,
any of them looked like Kerry Russell?
I think they did, as a matter of fact. There were a couple of very beautiful models amongst them.
Oh, yeah.
Them. Remember that?
Now it's coming back.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing about it was, at the time, it was a lot of raised eyebrows at the time, because people were like, oh, Russians, we're not at war with them anymore. And that's when I said, you know, maybe they're playing chess about the whole thing. Whether or not Putin's actually winning, he gets the idea that, you know, that he's this great spy master who's doing it. And he's building up his, you know, his sort of reputation. And that's kind of frightening, because then what, you know?
He's winning in the regard that he's one of the most wealthy people in the world, and that's he's beating us all.
Wealthy and feared.
Yeah. In the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. I love spy movies. I love spy books. I love the idea, especially like in the Le Carré, John Le Carré, whatever, however you pronounce it, novels, where people are recruited by foreign entities and don't even and think they're working for somebody else, but then it turns out they're working for another group, and they don't even know it. And they proceed because the spies know how to pull people's triggers, press their buttons, and pull their chains. And I'm wondering if you guys out there listening to this, and Jeff Carlin and our guest, Pat Brady, the former federal prosecutor, like spy novels, because it looks like I'm watching one unfold, Pat Brady.
Could be. Very interesting. But president tried to kill the investigation this week by firing Comey, so we'll see how that develops.
That's how you get, because we have to understand Pat has never liked Mr. Trump, and I'm kind of not liking him, but I don't like the Democrats even more. Not the Democrats, but the liberals who are around Hillary. So I'm stuck. I'm in this weird place. I don't know. Help me out here, Pat.
Well, this is for either, even though we disagree somewhat on that, I think we do agree that there are institutions like the Federal Bureau of Investigation that are important that they be independent. And to fire the director of the FBI who's investigating your campaign, meaning Donald Trump's campaign, that's bad, and that violates that separation and that distinction. I think we need to have it function effectively. So he didn't violate any laws, I don't think, by doing it, but he certainly violated his oath.
Or he at least violated the greater oath in Washington, which is timing and perception. Because now I'm seeing a lot of mouth foaming. Last week I wrote a column. You know, it's like when kids... You ever have your kids, like, eat Alka-Seltzers and then they spit up their foam on the deck trying to be zombies? Or, yeah. You know...
I think I still do that.
That's even I do that, like, it's usually 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Or, you know, watching Schumer and the other Democrats, who just a few weeks ago would have skinned Jim Comey alive and carried it... held his flapping skin up around a campfire and dancing naked, praying to Hillary Clinton in some woods, are now saying, Jim Comey the martyr, Saint Jim Comey. It's just, to me, the whole thing is bizarre.
It's pathetic all the way around. I agree. But to me, it's beyond that. If he's impeding the Russian investigation, and if the Russians actually did try to interfere with our elections, then that's bad. And it's beyond what Chuck Schumer or any of the political hacks think. And this FBI director needs to be independent to conduct this investigation. I'm not one. I knew Comey back in my day, and a little from a distance, and I think he's a man of great integrity and made a mistake with the way he handled the Hillary Clinton
one mistake.
Not the decision, but that was not his press conference to call. The attorney general makes charging decisions, not the FBI director. That was my issue with it.
Let's go back to that time of July 5th or so, 2016. Attorney General Loretta Lynch has just had her private session on a plane with the husband of a subject of a federal investigation, namely Bill Clinton.
Hey, you know, it's even better than that, John, that Bill Clinton had that meeting. There were two private jets parked on the tarmac in Phoenix, Arizona on July 5th.
That's a Bond novel. That's like a Bond novel, isn't it?
Yeah. To have a meeting with the Attorney General.
Because
he used to live in Phoenix. There's no place on the planet hotter than the airport in Phoenix.
And he ostensibly got on the plane to talk about golf, which everyone plays during the day.
And the kids.
So he's on the plane talking with her. She has already told Jim Comey, you're not having a grand jury. You can't even call this an investigation. You have to call it an inquiry. I wonder why. Maybe somebody above her told her that.
Did she say that? Because that was the Democrat. That was the biggest line of BS. That this is not investigation. The Justice Department doesn't do anything but investigation.
Exactly.
They don't do inquiries.
So I'm just trying to set the stage here. So then after all that happens, Comey figures, I've got to step forward. I don't know why. Why did he feel he had to be the one to outline her misdeeds? And he did. He offered a speech or a news conference, whatever you want to call it, in which basically he peeled Hillary Clinton six ways from Sunday, but then at the end said, no reason, but after you think he's going to say she should be indicted, he says, no reasonable prosecutor would ever prosecute. Two problems with that. Number one, it's not his job. Number two, the statutes, as I read them, don't indicate or deal with intent when you're talking about mishandling top secret information. There's no intent in any of the federal statutes for a reason, because you can't get into the mind of a spy or anyone who might be doing that, so you just say the behavior. If you put classified information on a homebrew server top secret stuff. Jeff Carlin did that, and John Cass did that. Even Pat Brady couldn't keep us out of Fort Leavenworth.
maybe I could for the right fee.
That would be a Homeric task, my friend. But we're going to prison. She's not. And then Comey's playing back and forth on this. Don't you? To me, that in and of itself, that just bothers me.
No, it was wrong. And we discussed this back in July that it was wrong. But that ship kind of sailed. If the president felt that it was wrong, he should have fired him on day one. That behavior was just a pretext. The memos, even you see this Rosenstein now, the one that authored one of the memos.
Yes, I read it.
He's backing off. He got set up. That poor guy, I don't think he knew it hit him.
How was he set up, Pat Brady?
They told him to write the memo. Then they used it and said it was on his recommendation to fire the Director Comey, and that's not what happened. Trump wanted him fired, told him back to go write a memo on this behavior, and then said, oh, he brought this to my attention and told me I should fire him. That's not how it went down. And there's a Latin term, I want to go lawyer on you, that we
go,
learned.
Go full lawyer.
Well, and it's I used it a couple times effectively. It's called liar, liar, pants on fire.
Or pantsuits on fire. I've used
pants
that.
Pants on right, fire, yes. Or whatever.
Equal opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, it's so simplistically stupid to do that and then write that letter that I guarantee you nobody in the West Wing saw but him before it went out. And this is it's going to cause a big problem. Whether you like Trump or not, the pretext of firing this guy because of that just doesn't hold up. And nobody's backing him up now.
Well, I don't like Trump, but you know who I like? What I like? I like the United States Constitution. And I figured that when there's a lot of foaming mouths on all sides here, right? Because if you don't like Trump or you do, not you, I'm taking you out of the equation. I'm just talking about all these interests and agendas. Plenty of foam in mouths. It's not rabies. It's just a Constitution deprivation. And I suggest that you take the Constitution, not you, but everyone who's screaming about it, and read it. And there's something in there called, I wrote about this last week, the separation of powers. The Congress, even though it's the Democrats want this, I agree with them now, the Congress should have full and open inquiry. A select committee, nothing behind the scenes. No, we had to be in closed session to talk about this or that. Everything out in the open. The Obama leaks, the unmasking, the Russian stuff, allegations of collusion. How did these, you know, the leak about General Flynn to the Washington Post, the firing, everything goes out into the open, and the people can see and decide what the heck's going on. But this dragging it out thing, I think, is bad for the country, and it just helps one side or the other, raise money and get an advantage. I don't think anyone should have an advantage here. This is our country.
I agree completely. And I know there's been certain senators on both sides screaming for the select committee, which is different than the typical committee. It's a bipartisan committee. But they're limited options since the independent prosecutor or statute has expired. And you can't just do that. So it's got to come from the Justice Department or come from the Congress to start an independent investigation. And I think you need three or more Republican senators to sign off on it. But the reality is, and as much as I agree with you, that stalls any legislative agenda. Nothing will get done during these investigations.
So where are we now? If you pick a special prosecutor, we're going to have Chuck Schumer, who is the, I don't know, when he's not yelling at some old lady in a restaurant, is the epitome. He called her the B word.
Did you hear that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He called her the B word because he wouldn't turn off his cell phone.
Well, because he's Chuck Schumer. He didn't have to.
I'm glad she didn't ask him to pee in a cup then. You know, he probably would have. Right?
Yeah. Listen, when you're paying $56 to get across the country, maybe you give up some of your rights. I don't know.
All right, so where are we now? I mean, we're going to have a new director of the FBI. The acting director, here's another one. The acting director, McCabe.
Yeah, his wife.
His wife received $750,000 from a political fund from Democrat Terry McAuliffe to run for office.
This is Terry McAuliffe, and if people don't remember the history of this guy, he's a Clinton lackey. And remember when the Clintons left the White House and they were quote-unquote dead broke? McAuliffe's the one that put together the money so they could buy their house.
So what?
Remember all that stuff?
Yes, yeah, I do. And I remember how they took the E's off the typewriters, too, off the keyboards. But what now? This guy, how is this guy going to run the FBI when his sposa is taking money from the Democrats? And here's another thing, Mr. Brady, I want you to write a federal law for me, okay? Because you know how to do that, being a former federal prosecutor. When we
do I get a retainer or how do I get paid?
Yeah, you get paid by another plate of peppers and sausage at Valari down the street.
I'll do that. I want
all right.
to wine.
Here's what I want. It's a First Amendment issue. When the newspapers refer to someone as a Democrat or Republican, like Dick Durbin or like anyone, I want Democrat Dick Durbin, comma, his wife makes $300 million doing lobbying for X, Y, and Z. And I want that all in a paragraph. Every time somebody's meant, because I'm...
Sell a lot of ink.
I'm coming to the point now where we don't even tell the people what's really going on with these
Remember in the financial crisis or the two or three that we've lived through, in the last one, remember all these analysts would come on and talk about a particular stock or investment. So you should be in this. And they were all over... MSNBC or what CNN or whatever, all these channels, financial channels. And then it turns out they all had interests in these particular investments. So now you have to declare just what you're saying. They did change that law 10 years ago.
But we don't do it for our political people.
No.
No, I think you should do it like NASCAR, where they should have to wear patches when they're in the house on the floor of all their big lobbyists. And the bigger the money they get from them, the bigger the patch has to be. So I want to see
the donation listed on the screen.
They have to wear jackets, special jackets. And so when they walk on the floor, it has all their lobbyists on it. That's what I want.
There's a lot of money floating around, man.
So we are at the point now where what? Comey is either the knight errant who's been deposed by an evil king, or he's a bumbling, egotistical fellow who got trapped on his own petard. But either way, what is the confidence of the American people in their government?
It depends on who they appoint and to fill Comey's spot. And I think it needs to be some former federal judge, somebody with a lot of respect, some independent judge. But who knows? What if he appoints Sheriff Joe or something?
Or Sheriff Clark from Milwaukee.
Maybe you have a dual head of the FBI.
Yeah. So to me, the answer to your question is it depends on who he appoints. And this investigation will continue at the FBI. Even if there's an independent counsel,
right?
The FBI is still doing the investigation.
And who knows what we're going to find out? I just want it all out in the open. Will we ever know? I mean, what if it turns out, Pat, here's my problem with all this anti-Trump stuff. And I understand Vulgar grabbed the girl, was on TV, Nancy O'Day or whoever he wanted, all that stuff, and he's terrible, and others wore their little pink hats and ran up and down Grand Park, and we have protests and all that.
That was Carlin.
Carlin would never wear one. He's got a Blackhawks hat on.
That's right.
But all that aside, where do we go?
I don't know. I've been kind of trying to read the tea leaves to see who the leaders, anyway, that I consider leaders are saying, but I think we're heading to an investigation, which will be 2 years of drama and nothing getting done.
And will we ever find out?
No, because we're dealing with the Russians. You think they're not good liars or know how to cover their tracks?
What if it's all what if this whole thing is a Russian deal?
That's then we got problems.
That's why I started out with this, in this segment talking about my love for spy novels, because Vladimir Putin couldn't write this better than what he's got now with Democrats and Republicans screaming Trump's a Russian spy.
Oh, you got a deputy minister laughing about it.
Come
and then
on.
Trump, Putin himself having this canned response when they happen to catch him in between, you know, periods at a hockey game. Or, come on. The whole thing.
Right. So they're pushing it. They're pushing it.
Yeah, absolutely. They know.
Right? But here's one. Yeah, go on.
Putin was at about a 20% popularity rate over there, if you can believe their polls. But he was on the way out until he started doing all this. Now he's really enhanced his stature, not only in the world, but particularly in the Middle East. So this guy has played it perfectly. But unless the Europeans and the rest of the world get on board and start cutting off, quit buying oil from him, then they're going to continue to become powerful. His aim is to get the old Soviet Union back.
If he's successful, and it looks like he is, then are we obligated, if we're to be intellectually honest, to say that the Democrats are Putin's useful idiots here?
Well, I think you could stretch that to a lot of people that are present, playing along with him.
Present company accepted, okay?
Yeah, no.
I'm not, you know, I know I'm accused of it.
Don't you think the president got a little bit... didn't handle it well on handling Putin? I've never heard anybody say anything but Putin's a thug and a murderer and a bad guy. And I don't care if Reagan said that in the 80s when he was dealing with Gorbachev until up to the minute he got a deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know why Trump picks this, I want to deal with him, but you don't deal with this clown.
I don't know. I think you deal with, you know, like people might not want it to deal with Daley and Madigan, but if you do business in Illinois, you have to. And
right. But the approach of, at least to the rest of the world, you need to talk tough, too, though. You can't be conciliatory going in or they step on you.
Well, right now, we've got a mess in our country, and I think that we have to go full out, complete sunshine everywhere.
But I agree with that.
But that means when a Democrat starts to sit on something, we have to scream at them, too, or Republican. Either way, nobody sits on anything. This is our country, not theirs.
I agree. I think, to me, that's what's, and not to get too sanctimonious about it, but firing the FBI director like that violates, to me, a very fundamental principle that we need in this country, that the FBI is independent. I mean, you know the history of the FBI. Nobody wanted a national police force. People were scared of it for the same reason that scares me now, that I don't want the president of the United States controlling the national police force. Bad things happen then.
Well, all I know is the FBI, and I have a lot of friends in the FBI, and I respect them, and I've spoken to their groups, and, you know, I've done speeches, and I appreciate what they do.
I do, too. They're very professional. They are a great law enforcement investigative organization. Now, since 9/11, they do a lot of counterintelligence.
That's basically what they're doing. That's why they're up and down from 79th. To 87th Street on the southwest suburbs, you'll see a lot of white vans. Okay? I'm just saying, I don't know why there's so many white vans. But remember that J. Edgar Hoover.
Flower delivery.
J. Edgar Hoover used to say consistently, there's no such thing as the Chicago outfit, there's no such thing as organized crime. And every Thursday, he'd go with his, whatever that guy is, they wore dresses together, and he would go to the racetrack. Yeah, he'd go to the racetrack and he'd win a lot of money. I just, you know what I'm saying, Pat? I'm just saying.
Hey, Jack, you would love this. And as you know, I'm a hillbilly. I grew up downstate, right? So I come up here 30 years ago. I'm in the state's attorney's office. I go to a golf outing. I don't even name where it was, but it was judges, state's attorneys, and defense attorneys. And at the end of the night, I'm sitting there drinking my beer, doing the drawings, right? The drawings at the golf outing. And funny thing, the judges won all the TVs.
And all the lawyers bought all the artwork that the judges' wives did.
Judge so-and-so. Whoa.
Pat Brady, I hope the Republic will stand until we see each other again. I expect that federal change in the First Amendment, right? The one where the spouse of the
I got it drafted. I mean this sincerely, John, because you're one of those guys that's always after it. I don't think the media has ever been more important than it is right now on this Russia thing. Because if there's not a media watchdog on this, I don't know what's going to happen, but it needs to be, you guys need to stay on.
But we also need to step back and not be anybody's meat puppet.
Exactly.
Because I've seen it in, you've seen it in Illinois politics, Chicago politics, reporters, they don't even know who's tipping them sometimes. One tip leads to another. And you could tell who's behind, if you've been around for a while, like you, sure. Pat Brady or me, you can tell that there's some mastermind, you know, dropping these tips on who, on somebody else, third party tips. And that's where we have to be careful about. So everybody step back. Take the Constitution, do not foam at the mouth, and I bet you the next time I see you after we have our peppers and sausage at Villari, we're still going to have a country. Let's hope so.
We will. We will. But we gotta, you got to stay on it or we lose it.
Thanks, Pat Brady.
All
thanks
right,
for
see
being
you guys.
Here.
Yeah, thanks.
See
right.
Thanks, Pat.
This is John Cass, Will Lee, Jeff Carlin, and Pat Brady. Thanks again and again. I hope you come out June 10th, Saturday, 10 o'clock at the Printers Row Fest. I'll be there to answer any of your questions. Just be kind to me. Don't be mean because I'm kind of a shy, scared person and I don't deal with confrontation well. But we'll see you and thanks again for joining us. See you next week.